Well, I'm going to get back to Romans chapter 13. And we've all been hither and yon and gone different places. And I thought maybe I'd finish up this week. I'm not so sure now. But we'll briefly go where we've been. Keeps in mind, or comes to mind, what... I can't remember who said it yesterday. I think it was Mark. Told me. But most American churches today are practicing Americanity instead of Christianity. And the call, what we need to do is, and that's, you know, that's the first step, is to practice Christianity. And we understand, as we've been looking here through Romans 13, that God has a legitimate order. God has a legitimate hierarchy. God established certain institutions, and in their proper place and order, you know, we are you know, to submit to those things. But they get out of their proper place and order. And the time comes, you know, to take a stand and to make and to make decisions. And we were talking the last several weeks, you know, at the National League meeting up in Abbeville, the meeting here. I think Brother Hal and I discussed it on the way to the state meeting. You know, there's, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, where's the line? And I think increasingly we need to identify those things. I mean, I know where some lines are. I told Brother Hal, and if this bothers somebody, I'm sorry. But you know, if they come for my arms, I know the lines before that. They're not going to have them. If they come for my personal property, they're not going to have them. Now they may get it eventually, but it'll be over my dead body, literally. But there's some other lines. There's some, you know, where, when, and we'll talk about that some tomorrow at the chapter meeting for the league. And you know, we need to have some contingency plans. I'm wondering, but we need to make some decisions. We need to be like Daniel. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart that he'd not defile himself, and the tense of the verbs there makes it evident. Daniel didn't make that decision when the king said, you know, eat this stuff. Daniel had already decided that long before it happened. He said that when this happens, I'm not gonna do it. By the same token, and we've been talking here in the context of Romans 13, you know, Daniel used discretion about that. He didn't take it and throw it on the floor and say, I'm not going to eat that garbage. Now, he wasn't going to. He already knew that. But he just said, let's give it a little test. You know, let me eat as I believe the Lord have me eat. Let everybody else eat what you want to have them eat. And let's see how I measure up against them. You know, we use discernment. We use discretion. But we know where the line is. Well, Paul writes here to the Romans at Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. God's sovereign. God is sovereign. Again, things flow through my mind, but one of the fellows talking about is that law does not establish sovereignty. Sovereignty establishes law. See, God is sovereign. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And even as we've seen earlier here in Romans, Pharaoh, God raised him up. He was God's servant, though he didn't intend to be. He didn't want to be the folks who crucified the Lord. They did what he had before ordained to be done. They were at war against heaven, the heathen raging. They were shaking their fists at heaven. They were accomplishing God's decreed will. There's our peace. And I don't know how folks that don't have that continue on. And yeah, there's some folks with us, you know, in the league and all that. I don't think they got a grasp of that. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to win. We're going to prevail if we work hard enough. I don't know that. But I know God's decree is going to be accomplished. And I know it's for our ultimate good. You know, it may not look like a short-term victory. But that's really irrelevant. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We are to obey legitimate authority. And as we continue on, Paul gives us some guidelines, some indications of what legitimate authority is. We see the limits here in verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We see there the limits to civil government. There would be a terror to evil works and not to good. It's clear we can see much in our society when good is called evil and evil is called good. It's been turned on its head. And Paul continues on in verse 5, speaking of, again, our limits to submission, limits to subjection. Verse 5, therefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. It's never a good policy to violate your conscience. The conscience is not an infallible guide, because our consciences are formed, by what we take in, by what we know, by what we believe. But if they're formed by this book, as they ought to be, then we've got a sure guide. But it's never good to go against conscience. So Paul said, look, don't do it just because you're afraid, because I'm telling you what, they'll make you afraid, right? they can come and take what you got. They can throw you in the... And they got the prisons, they got the guns, they've got the helicopters. Also, you shouldn't be subject just for wrath's sake, but for conscience sake. But you know what God teaches us, what the Scripture set forth. And then we've been working on these last couple verses, and we've been speaking about the matter of tribute and taxes. And again, there's a legitimate place for those, but when it goes beyond that, what do we say? And then how have people taken the Scriptures, I think, and again, turned them on their heads? Paul says, for this cause pay ye tribute, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. The very thing that they're to be ministers for, you read back, is that they're ministers for good, that they're to reward that's which is good, that they're to punish that which is evil. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And we looked at some specifics in the past weeks, and again how God raised up various deliverers of Israel. Eglon was a tyrant over Israel, and God raised up Ehud, and he gave to Eglon his due. He was acting under the command of God. He was acting as a representative of the people. It's not to say that we all have an unlimited warrant to go and take out somebody we don't like. That's not what we're saying. But God makes these things clear, and in the context of His law, were to render those what's due, what they deserve, what they ought to have. Render literally means to pay back. Well, and then we looked at the Lord's teaching on these things, something again that's so often, I think, taken out of context. And as I shared with you all, every time I read these verses, I can't help but Hollywood comes to mind. Isn't that terrible the way we are? And Mark yesterday, referred to a few Hollywood things, but some there's some things where art reflects life. I always think when I read the Lord's words here, I always think of the old movie of Sergeant York. He's out there and render to Caesar what's Caesar's, and render to God what's God's. And so over here's Caesar's, and over here's God's, and kind of like that little Venn diagram I made up, and that's kind of the view that the world has, you know, that there's this sphere that, you know, that Caesar reigns in, and there's this sphere that God reigns in, and, you know, they're kind of separate and apart. Ain't that way! God is sovereign! God reigns over all, God deserves all, and, you know, if you're going to make a Venn diagram, which can reflect as best I can anyway, all Caesar's sphere is what God gives him. It's under the authority of God, and it's within the sphere of God, because there's nothing outside the sphere of God. That's right. You know, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to give Caesar his, and, you know, God's got his part over here. And well, it's in Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, and they sent out unto him his disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? There's a group here that included those who opposed Christ, but who opposed each other as well. You know, you had the Herodians and you had the Pharisees. And the Herodians were, you know, they followed Herod. You know, get along, and we'll, you know, we'll kind of support the government, and we'll bow to Caesar. And the Pharisees they kind of took the opposite view. But they both wanted to capture the Lord. They said, we don't care how he answers. We ask him this, and we got him. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And we looked at what they pulled out of their pocket. A denarius. He said, Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose image is this and subscription? He said, What's it say on there? Whose picture's that, and what's it say on there? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Some folks say, well, then, you know, they understood, you know, he just meant to pay the taxes, go about your business, and, you know, that's, you got Caesar's, and you got, oh, read verse 22. And when they heard these words, they marveled. And left him and went their way. Well, as we'd spoken before, if you look at that denarius carefully, and I won't go over the Latin that's on there again, but what it says is Augustus Tiberius Caesar Divi Augusti Filius. Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. Okay, so the coin says this fellow's divine. It's the son of the divine. And on the back's a picture of his mother. And it says, Pontifex Maximus. You know, the high priest. That's what they still call a pope, you know. right out of the Roman pagan religion. Well, you know, the Lord already had those folks, because here they were carrying this denarius around, and they're arguing about whether they should pay taxes or not. He said, "Let me see your the coin." They pull it out of their pocket. He said, "Well, you got a coin. You know, you're already playing Caesar's game. You're already involved." And so his detractors marvel, and certainly they felt the sting, I think, of what he had to say. He said, "You have to pay the piper. You know, who's your God? The coin says." And he says, whose image? And he says, in the inscription. Now, they don't answer and say what it says, really. They don't want to get involved in that. Well, whose image is on there, and what's it say? So, the coin was itself a religious statement. So, we render to whom is due, but to whom is it due? What belongs to Caesar? What belongs to God? Sometimes, again, the line You know, what's to render to Caesar, and what's to be, where's discretion and these things. But I do know this, there's no line in what belongs to God. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Exodus we read, the earth is the Lord's. Deuteronomy, heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. By God's. Or Samuel we read, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. And you go on and on and on. So perhaps the Lord was challenging them that there. Well, you got a coin, says Caesar, Scott. Joshua said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. For if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah challenges the people. And Elijah came unto the people in 1 Kings 18 and said, how long hold you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. In some of his earlier teaching, the Lord said this, that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So obviously, the Lord is not saying the world's like this. Well, you serve them both. You know? He said you can't do that. Now we understand that the Lord, you know, raises up folks and gives a place, sometimes even to Caesars and Pharaohs and so forth and so on. And we need discretion. We need to determine. But we need to never violate the law of God. Am I going to be able to tell you exactly where the line always is? I don't know. But we need to work towards that. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do in a lot of different ways. And I think even, you know, within the league, to make these determinations. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when? And the time to decide that isn't when is what? There! You know, you can't, when they're coming through the gate, well, let me decide what I'm going to do. No, you have to have decided that before. We looked at some other things, you know, in another situation where the Lord, again, I think, shows some showing that we need to use discretion. We need to use wisdom in dealing with these things. You remember when some called upon his disciples to pay a tribute. It was a different tribute. It was a different context. But obviously the Lord didn't really owe that tribute, because if he had, he would have already paid. You know, he wasn't any man's debtor. But the, you know, they come and when they would come to Capernaum, they received they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in the hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give them for me and thee. You know, we have to decide. I don't know exactly which one it is, you know, but is this the hill that we're supposed to die on? You know, is this the hill that we're prepared to die on? We need discretion. Now the Lord, in this case, said, you know, we're not going to, go ahead and give it to him, Peter. You know, it's not violating any of the principles. If it violates principles, we know that. The Lord never would have violated, you know, any of God's law or any of God's principles. the bottom line, and then I will finish this up next week, Lord willing. But I wanted to look at we're going to look at some perspectives of a variety of different folks about the Lord's words. Because in our society, in our Americanity, you know, there's only one way that folks look at it. Well, give Caesar Caesar's, you know, go over there and drop the bombs and kill the mothers and children, and as long as you do it in a green uniform, you're okay. There's a God. I try to tell my grandson this. Not that one, but another one who's all, you know, in the military. And, oh, Grandpa, you were in the Marines. All of that. Listen, there's a God. There's a God. You're going to stand before Him someday. The bottom line, the real separation, if you will, in church of church and state. And yes, I think, you know, it's proper for us to be involved in things, be concerned with things, and prepare for things. But bottom line, John 18, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and said, called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, but I should not be that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Yeah, yes, we have a citizenship here, but we have a greater citizenship. Our true citizenship, that same city that, you know, Abraham searched after. And so we've got to keep that in context in all that we do here, and it's proper that we do. But to keep that context. To keep the context, to determine these things. You know, how would the Lord have us to act? And I believe, you know, He'll give us that wisdom. You know, where is the line? You know, what hill are we supposed to die on? In Matthew 10, the Lord said this, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, we've got through these verses. I'll probably finish them up next week. And I don't guess I've given you all the answers. And I don't know that I got them all. So, there you go. But I do believe the Lord will give us wisdom and guidance. And I believe if we do right and seek to stand right, we'll know what to do when the time comes. And He'll give us wisdom to know even before the time that we're prepared. Well, we'll pick up there next week. And we'll take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 372, thanks to God. Because He's still in control. You know, He's still in control. And He turns the king's hearts. Number 372, thanks to God.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered. Thanks for what Thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Torn for all Thou dost reply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the way. Christ can take. Thanks for hope, and thanks for fireside, thanks for hope that's sweet refrain. Thanks for joy, and thanks for sorrow, thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope and the tomorrow, thanks through all eternity.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day that you set aside as yours. Lord, as we remember our Savior's glorious victory, his atoning death for his people, his cry that it was finished, Lord, we thank thee that he accomplished all that been agreed to in that everlasting covenant, that which you'd already accepted in him as our surety. Father, we can't comprehend such love. We can't comprehend such grace. But Lord, we thank thee that you've made us the recipients of it. We thank thee, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit that gave us life, gave us repentance, and gave us faith, gave us understanding that we might embrace our Savior, that we might know these things. Father, we pray for wisdom as we live our daily lives. We might know how we ought to stand. And Lord, as it seems to us that we live in increasingly perilous times, that we might have wisdom, that we might have discernment, and we might have strength and courage. Father, we thank thee for the inspired words of the apostle, that we have a sure word from on high, that we need not lean to our own understanding. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here today. I thank you again, Lord, for bringing us back safely together again. Thank you, Lord, for the new friends you brought our way. I pray, Lord, your hand upon all of us in this coming week, that you might guide our paths, that you might use us to your own glory. Lord, we lift up again our brothers in the ministry, our sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, those that need your healing hand. Father, we praise thee for your sovereignty. Lord, that we can rest that you will accomplish what you've determined. But Lord, in the light of that, may we be faithful to what you've revealed that we should do. And we seek, Lord, to be faithful in our duty. Thank you again for our Savior. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.